Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. This is the second of two programmes about Brazil, a country we hear a lot about with both the World Cup and the Olympic Games. It's an up-and-coming country, one of the BRIC countries. That's Brazil, Russia, India and China. All four are vast territories with huge populations. Between them, they have more than half of the population of the world. They are fascinating countries and well worth a closer look. I really enjoyed visiting Brazil for 5 weeks on a preaching tour, singing for my supper, if you like, moving from town to town every 5 days. The experience changed my life. I've been telling other people about Brazil ever since. When I came home, I wrote about my adventures in a 70-page document. In the previous programme, I spoke about it being a God-guided tour, God giving me all kinds of special moments and precious experiences and memories which I'll treasure for a long time, including my football in Brazil stories. In this programme, let's look into Brazil's wealth and poverty and social issues. So come with me now to Brazil. Brazil is a huge country, nearly the size of Western Europe, with nearly 200 million people, from Amazonian tribes people in the rainforest to high-powered business people in skyscrapers with helicopters and yachts. In the big cities, I saw the extremes of wealth and poverty side by side. San Paulo is the banking and financial centre of South America. And right next to the most glamorous skyscraper office towers, there were favela or slum shacks, made of cardboard, bits of wood, anything they could pick up. They build these shacks on any available piece of land, especially on slopes which are too steep to build anything else substantial. However, when the rain comes, the makeshift, thrown-together structures with no foundations just slide down the hill in the mudslides, like a pack of cards. And every year, predictably, thousands upon thousands die. The government tries to stop the rogue building, but the poor people are absolutely desperate, and there are millions upon millions of them. San Paulo alone, just as one city, has more than three times the population of Scotland, and probably about a million people living in these favela. The police are scared to patrol in these makeshift but increasingly permanent worlds and laws unto themselves. The people live both in fear of crime, there's a lot of crime and violence, and also in fear of the police, who are often seen as the enemy, and often with good cause. So come with me and a local minister, and we'll visit Marcos in his little shack in a favela in a town called San Carlos. To give you a feel for it, here's another Brazilian minister called Ricardo playing a guitar he's just come across a second ago. A favela is a slum, housing the poorest of the poor. Look at the, quote, houses, unquote. They're not houses as we know them. They're not even as good as our garages or sheds. They're just made of boxes, crates, odd bits of wood, slates, anything picked up, and all tied together with string. We have better kennels in this country. They have no heating, no air conditioning, no sanitation, no electricity, no water, no nothing. The paths between them are narrow and worn down to bare earth when it's dry, and they become just mud when it's wet. If you're still with me, come on and we'll visit Marcos in his hut. Brazilians are very friendly and hospitable. He doesn't mind us prying into his home. It's okay because we've got the local minister with us. What Marcos calls home is about 7 feet by 7 feet, just slightly bigger than my garden shed, but not so well furnished. In fact, the most obvious thing is that there is nothing in it. There is no furniture. Can you imagine a life without a chair to sit on? Just a couple of bricks. No proper bed to sleep on. Just something to lie on slightly raised off the floor. There's no gas or electricity. No sink because there's no water. There's no toilet. No bath. Just a hole in the ground down the path. There's no cooker. Just an open fire with a pot on it. This is home for Marcos and his partner, they're not married, plus his partner's mother and their young daughter. When you stand inside, you can see right outside through the holes in the walls. The folk outside can see in. There's a great lack of privacy. The walls are so thin and the neighbours so close that everyone can hear everything, so again there's little privacy. The mind-boggling thing is that Marcos is not unemployed. He has a job. He works out in the fields harvesting sugar cane. It's very physically demanding work, chopping tough sugar cane all day in the heat, day after day, when night after night you've had bad sleeps and live on a poor diet. He only gets paid on the days he works. If it's raining, then the work stops and he gets no pay. And if he is sick and unable to work, he gets no pay, and there are no sick benefits. He has to try to feed the four of them on less than £1 each per day in our money. Four people live off less than £4 per day. He has no trade union, no benefits, no rights, no working terms and conditions. He is just cheap slave labour. And around the world there are countless millions of Marcuses. Each big city has thousands and thousands of them. Whole countries are described as economic miracles, like Brazil, Russia, India, China. but they each are building national prosperity on the backs of people like Marcos. It is such an injustice. It makes my blood boil. Poverty is closely connected to justice. I mean injustice. And not just me. Listen to Tracy Chapman, Jules Grave, and then Marie Edie.
There's enough food to feed the world. Why wouldn't there so many of us? Are there people still alone? Why are the lizards called peacekeepers when there ain't to kill? Why is a woman still not safe when she's in her home? Love is hate, war is peace, no is yes, we're all free. But somebody's gonna have to answer. Time is coming soon. Amidst all these questions and contradictions, there's some who seek the truth. But tell me, why do the babies starve? There's enough food to feed the world. Why wouldn't there so many of us? Are there people still alone? Why are the missiles called peacekeepers when there ain't to kill? Why is a woman still not safe when she's in her home? Love is hate, war is peace. Oh, is yes, we're all free. But somebody's gonna have to answer. The time is coming soon when the blind remove their blinders and the speeches speak the truth. Tell me, why do the babies starve? There's enough food to feed the world. Why wouldn't there so many of us? Are there people still alone? And why are the missiles called peacekeepers when they're aimed to kill? Why is a woman still not safe when she's in her home? Love is hate, war is peace, no is yes, we're all free.
Our children's children's children are gonna need some water to drink. We take the water for granted, but stop a minute and think, stop a minute and think. Can't you just hear the voices of our great, great grandsons and daughters raising their hands to their ancestors saying, I need a drink of water. Oh, I need a drink of water, yeah.
I need a drink of water, I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me? I need a drink of water, I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me?
I saw a third world woman giving her baby a Coke. This is no lie, my friends, this is no joke. They say that Coca-Cola is the real thing, but I just want some water. I need a drink of water. I just want some water that's clean.
I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me? I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me?
Yeah.
I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me? I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me?
Now I don't want no chlorine. No pesticides, no fluoride, you know what I mean. I just want some water that's clean. I just want some water. We all need water. I just want some water that's clean. Here we go.
I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me? I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me?
Yeah, yeah.
I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me? I need a drink of water. I need a drink of water. Do you have some clean water for me?
Shall we gather at the river? Who is bringing in the sheaves? Who are the lambs led to the slaughter when they drop the bombs like autumn leaves? Who teaches us to live in terror while they rob us brave and bold? Do they play keys to the kingdom while they claim the earth to own? Smiling while they steal with taxes, they choose the villain of the week. For safety, they're mortgaging our future. Slavery's the inheritance of the meek. There's money for bailing out the bankers and for selling arms across the sea. In the name of business interests, piling up the debt on you and me. Shall we gather at the river? Are we just a bunch of silly sheep? Can we be responsible for freedom? Are we brainwashed, hypnotized, and put to sleep?
You're listening to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM, and we're thinking about Brazil, and in particular, its wealth and its poverty. Brazil has a problem with tens of millions of people being evicted from their land and left absolutely destitute. It's a bit like the Highland clearances in Scotland long ago. Landowners evict tenants when they're no longer useful. But small landowners, like crofters, also get in the way of big business and by legal or illegal means get shifted. Listen to this piece of music. I went to a demonstration on behalf of the millions of landless poor in the city of Indaiatuba. These are the protesters warming up their guitars for the rally, or the manifestation as they call it. I just bumped into them and spontaneously recorded them on the pavement with my recorder. Apologies for the traffic, but it does give you the authentic atmosphere of it. By the way, I asked various people in Brazil about the unemployed. And each time I got puzzled looks. Each time my interpreter looked at me and asked, "What do you mean, unemployed?" At first I thought it was a language difficulty. But then I discovered that they do not have unemployed people. They don't understand the concept of unemployment. When there's no welfare state or benefits, poor people have to work ever harder to scratch out a meager existence. The poorer you are, the harder you have to work. Not working was not an option. When I explained that poverty in Scotland meant receiving benefits payments from the government for doing no work, they were bemused. When I said that if you did do some work and got paid for it, it came off your benefits, so that there was a compulsory idleness built in, a helplessness, a dependency, a losing the dignity of providing for your family. They usually felt sorry for us poor Scots and thought that on balance they would rather be poor Brazilians. They saw the Scottish unemployment as promoting dependency, irresponsibility, apathy, idleness, just being spoon-fed, and taking away humanity and dignity and self-worth and the respect of others. There can be a greater poverty than the lack of money. There can be a poverty of lack of justice, lack of ambition, lack of hope, and a loss of faith. Poor people in Brazil turn to God desperately for help. Poor people in Scotland often turn away from God, losing faith in tough times. Whichever country we live in, the worst poverty of all is ignorance which is so ignorant that it will not learn. The worst poverty is pride which is so proud that it will never change. Or the independence which is so private it will not receive. Or the insecurity which is so timid it will not even try. Or the hard-heartedness which is so unforgiving that it will not forgive or receive forgiveness. In Scotland, we have so much more than the poor people of other countries, and yet we sometimes still will not go to our GP or our dentist or our minister or ask anyone for help. Beware of spiritual death, because it creeps up like fog, and it falls imperceptibly like the turning of the tide or the fall of darkness. The unforgivable sin is to be so lost in sin that we will not recognize it, or confess it, or repent of it. Brazil may have more economic poverty than we have, but we perhaps have more spiritual poverty than Brazil. They flock to church, we flee from it. Well, our time is up, so bye for now, and I leave you with a Brazilian girl called Milena, whom I met in a Presbyterian church in Barra Bonita, who, for all her poverty, is singing about her wealth in knowing Jesus.
Thank you.